Welcome to the Fearless Beauties Podcast, a space dedicated to shattering beauty standards and celebrating the diversity of the industry. On season 5, we're getting back to our roots with a focus on education on treating melanin-rich skin. We'll be interviewing beauty school owners, entrepreneurs, and instructors as we amplify voices of color, sharing stories of innovation, inspiration, and empowerment. So settle in and get ready to be inspired. Welcome back to another episode of the Fearless Beauties Podcast. It's season 5, episode 2, and today we're diving headfirst into the educational landscape of aesthetic school, specifically what's missing from most curriculums, and also what's on the trend-setting list. I am your host, Alina Velez.
And I'm your co-host, Beatrice Van, also known as B.
I'm your other co-host, Asia Lowe.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are going to dive right into this episode. So if you guys don't already know, B, Asia, and myself are all educators here in Portland, Oregon at Spectrum Advanced Aesthetics. And so the first question that I want to kind of pick apart is, what specific skills or knowledge were missing in your training that you found you needed to develop later in your career? And B, you being the OG, maybe you can kick us off.
Oh my goodness. Why do I always have to be the OG? You guys think I'm so old. But I feel like today, something, just talking about this subject really comes close to my heart. Like the way that we're educating the next generation of estheticians, as you mentioned, being the OG. I've been in this industry for 20 years, and let me tell you, things are changing fast and rapidly, like with new technologies, innovative treatments, and specialized services popping up every single day. And here's the thing, as much as aesthetics industry is evolving, I feel like our curriculum sometimes struggle to keep it up. So for me, back in the day when I went to school 20 years ago, we didn't have Google, we didn't have smartphones or any of the instant access to information that students have today. So our education was pretty traditional. We just had our textbooks and each other. We read, we memorized, and relied on those books to guide us. If we had a question, we had to track down our peers, our instructors, mentors, and let's be honest, sometimes it feels like a scavenger hunt. So just building a network of support was key back then, and I think it still is key now, but in a different way. But there was no quick Google search to get answers, and today students have all of that information right at their fingertips. And I'll admit, sometimes I'm a little legitimately jealous about how easy they have it sometimes.
So true. Mm-hmm. So true.
And I think, like, when I look back and I look at my current, my past experience and the current industry trends now, I think that one of the biggest gaps was digital marketing. And the cool thing is, Asia's going to talk about us a little bit later on this podcast. So we spent so much time perfecting our craft, our facial treatments, waxing, skincare, but no one ever really mentioned about how to market ourselves online and social media. Back in the early 20s, y'all, we only had MySpace. And I don't know if you guys actually remember that.
I do.
Not me.
Yeah. And then just a few years later, then Facebook came about, and then eventually YouTube. So during my first 5 years as an esthetician, social media wasn't really even on the radar. And the idea of personal branding on platforms like Instagram or Facebook, it was unheard of.
I know personally in my training, I felt like I had solid foundation in the technical aspect of aesthetics, but there were definitely like a few things later in my career that I had to learn. And I definitely feel like business skills. Thankfully, I had all of you guys. I had my family who are entrepreneurs, and they were able to help me navigate that side, like managing finances and building a business and marketing myself. And their experiences allowed me to seek advice and just guidance. Additionally, I feel like we got some social media training, but that's definitely something I had to learn afterwards. And I'm just glad that I'm able to use my experiences and what I've learned with students and such.
How about you, Alina?
Yeah, so it's been 11 years for me since my basic course, and I didn't have social media or any of that kind of stuff either, like UB. And unfortunately, the school that I went to, I'm not going to say the name, really outdated, very outdated textbooks. And not even, you know, not one colored person in a textbook. I mean, really, truly. And I feel like I personally lacked resources after graduation. It was like, okay, you're done with your program. And I was like, now what? And so that's something that I think Spectrum is really strong and something that we really like stand behind is, you know, after students graduate, we're still here to answer questions, to guide them, to say, hey, think twice about that place, or, you know, just kind of steering them in the right direction. And so that's something I wish that I had in my training, just that community and all that.
That's so true, because it's just wild how to think about how much has changed, and mm-hmm. we really want our students to succeed and understand and how to curate their content and engage with clients on a professional image level.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. So how effectively do you feel that the current aesthetics curriculum is preparing students for just the rapidly evolving demands of the aesthetics industry? I'm thinking like our educators and schools offering relevant technologies and modalities. Are they teaching how to treat all people, trans folks, melanin rich, all these things? Do we feel like the current curriculum is preparing students?
I think it's preparing them somewhat, but it could definitely be stronger. I feel like so many schools are just focused on getting students prepped to to pass their state boards, and that's it. And they don't encourage them to go beyond that and to continue their education, to be strong estheticians, and to learn new modalities and work with so many different skin types. And I think that's just something where schools need to get out of their comfort zone, and they need to just evolve and such.
Yeah, and I think that this is such an important conversation, and honestly, it's overdue. I feel like inclusivity in the classroom is essential, and it just goes beyond just checking off the boxes, as Asia was saying, and just passing state board tests. I think fundamental shift is how we view and incorporate diversity in the aesthetic education. I think curriculum focus on lighter skin tones is a lot of times more focus, and melanin-rich skin, there still just isn't enough comprehensive training on how to treat darker skin tones. So I think that that's still a huge gap. But I think we're moving in the right direction, because yeah. I feel like for myself, being able to be lucky enough to contribute to My Lady's Advanced Aesthetics book, new edition, that's coming out in 2025. I can tell you guys all firsthand that the curriculum is moving in the right direction, and there's more bigger focus on diversity, inclusivity, and more attention being paid to things like skin of color, even social media and marketing and procedural videos with more diversity in age and skin tones. So I still do think that we have a lot of work to do. But I think as Fearless Beauties, as a team and as a community, we just need to keep pushing to ensure that our industry, our students are continuing to get well-rounded education that includes everything from all skin types, not just groups of skin types like dry skin, normal skin, oily right. skin, but just all skin type in general.
I agree. So how would one be more inclusive? Like, what are some things that educators and schools can do to just include more diverse representation and things like that in curriculum?
I think some of the schools that we are partnering up with, for example, Euro Institute is one of the schools in Washington, is just bringing curriculum into their program that's not the traditional curriculum from Milady or Pivot Point, and being able to teach their students more about melanated rich skin, about transgender skin, and just all skin types, so they have a better understanding that when anybody who comes through their door, they have some of the base knowledge to be able to know how to troubleshoot and approach their client and really create that inclusivity and diversity for their clients in their treatment room.
I think that's such a big point, B, that you should have the desire to want to confidently treat everybody who walks through your door. And I think that the foundation of that is creating a sense of belonging for everybody and a non-judgmental approach. And I think just being open-minded, the more open-minded you can be, the more, I think, just easy-flowing and authentic inclusivity comes and flows. And so I think that also goes along with just, like, having an adaptive learning strategy. So being an educator, I think, even just being an esthetician in general, there are so many times that we have to use problem-solving skills and we have to pivot. We have to be quick pivoting. And having a positive attitude along with that quick pivot is, you know, 50% of it. But being open flowing, and having adaptive, you know, learning strategies, I think, is really important.
Agreed.
For sure. I feel like schools should also just encourage their students to bring in models and bring in so many different people just to be able to get that experience to work on them. I think that's so important. And going over case studies and such to give them examples if they don't have that opportunity to physically work on the skin, but to problem solve through, you know, case studies.
I agree, because it's not that, like, tokenistic representation that we're looking for. Like, we don't want education, you know, books and things of that sort to just to cross it off the list. We have our black and brown people, or we have this and that. No, we want people who truly represent diverse communities, people that look like us, that live like us, and we want our education to reflect that, right?
And I think, you know, being pigmented myself and being a person of color, I think it's also other areas that are often overlooked in traditional training programs is also specialized care that people are going through, menopause, oncology. Mm. As I mentioned earlier, the trans community, like, these are crucial areas that are often overlooked, and we need to be able to bring some of this information to help our students understand, so they can care for our clients and the customer, the public, and really safely care for the public.
Mm-hmm. Nutrition, phlebotomy, these are all, like, super trending. You mentioned oncology. Menopause is a kind of new and upcoming topic of discussion in the aesthetics realm. Yeah, we're making some progress here. Mm-hmm. Going back to kind of students and talking about, do we feel like there are sufficient opportunities for students to develop problem-solving skills and really, like, refine their technique and receive personal feedback? I think of this as smaller class sizes, and really, as an educator standpoint, being able to provide the feedback that's absolutely necessary for student success. I don't know, B, if you have any other suggestions on how to be a better educator for students and give better feedback.
I think for myself, being an educator for the last 17 years, I definitely think problem solving is absolutely essential in our field. I think being flexible, adaptable as educators, and teaching our students to be able to be open-minded, flexible, and adaptable. I think the COVID phenomenon kind of put a little wrench in that. Mm-hmm. I feel like people are more timid and more scared, and as instructors, we have to help our students build that confidence during our program to help them believe in themselves. Like, we believe in them, and we have to show them how to believe in themselves to be able to be stronger in their craft. And before starting at Spectrum, I did work at a larger cosmetology school, and the classes were typically 15 to 20 students. It sounded manageable, but with those larger classes, it was definitely hard to give each student the individual attention that they need. So kind of piggybacking on what Alina was saying, like smaller classes. And I definitely agree to that because it's more than just the quantity of the time with each student, but it's also about the quality of the time that you get with each student. So it's the difference between checking off a treatment on a list versus truly helping them master the technique and being able to handle the unexpected things that come up in a treatment room.
Mm, so good.
Yeah, for sure. I know we're all so lucky to be able to work in such an amazing school that has that opportunity to have smaller class sizes, but there are schools that don't. And I think one way they could implement more support to their students is, you know, having an additional educator there, a teaching assistant to help when there are larger class sizes, and taking that time to do student check-ins on, you know, one-on-ones to see what you can do to help support them throughout their journey for those larger schools.
And I think it's all about connecting, right? It's about letting them also feel a sense of community within the school and being able to have that sense of community when they graduate from school. Mm-hmm. And for me, I try, and I think not just myself, but all the educators at Spectrum, we try to continue to leave that door open to our graduates and our students that they can communicate, they can reach us out to through a DM or email or text message when they are needing a little bit of inspiration or support, whatever they need. And I think that's a big part of the difference of having a smaller school when you can connect and create that sense of community and response and relationship with each student and making them feel seen and heard versus it just being another number, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think it starts with the educators as well. Like, if you don't love your job and you don't love what you do as an educator, that's going to be reciprocated by your students. And, you know, I just think the aesthetic space is such a beautiful healing community. You know, it's not for everybody, especially teaching, but if you can really create that safe, supportive environment that really sets the stage for your students' success, I think that encouraging students to go home and practice as well, like the work doesn't stop when you leave the school, right? So encouraging that independent practice at home and practicing your craft, because growth isn't automatic. So it takes the effort on their end to just continuously learn and sharpen their skills. I also wanted to touch on, Asia, you mentioned doing one-on-ones with students, and I think that that is such an easy way to sit down with students one-on-one and just hear them out. Where are you at? Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised what will come up, right?
Yes.
And I think that it really just, it creates that safe space, and students are going to feel more comfortable opening up to you. I mean, we've had students say, hey, I'm dyslexic, or hey, I have this type of learning disorder. And so you would have not known that had you not sat down with them for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know. And so that can help you as an educator, you know, modify your teaching style that suits their needs.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think, you know, being an educator, as long as I have, a lot of times, like kind of going back to those one-on-ones, I love those one-on-ones. I think, like, I always tell the students, I can't help what I don't know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you open that door, you get to know a lot, right? And a lot of that information becomes kind of heavy information, and you tend, what my therapist would usually say is I trauma bond a lot with my students, and that's how I connect with them. And sometimes that information can get heavy. So I think as a point of view of an instructor, something that I just recently carried on was therapy. And I think that as an instructor, we hold so much information and emotion from our day-to-days, from our clients to our students. And sometimes we need an outlet to be able to communicate that through. So I think for our longevity in this career and also being able to understand them more is for us to understand ourselves and to fill our cups as well.
Well said,
so
B.
Good. Yeah, really good. Okay, last question here. How can aesthetics education better prepare students for the evolving role of technology and social media in the industry? Asia, take this one away, girl, because this is your jam.
Yeah, I think one great way to prepare students is by offering additional education education throughout guest speakers who can talk about business building, devices, guest speakers, you know, talking about skincare and new techniques, social media, just partnering with companies who want to offer that support to your students so they can ask questions, offer insight, and just provide, you know, hands-on training that can be incredibly valuable. I know so many of our students love when we have guest speakers because they have a new voice coming in, they're learning something new, and they love, you know, just that community sense. And when doing this, this helps students stay ahead of trends, especially in how to use social media effectively to build their business and brand while engaging with clients. Bringing in experts really just, you know, supports them so much.
With you being an expert, Asia, do you have like two suggestions of tools, like apps or anything for listeners to sharpen up their social media skills you want to share?
Yeah, I know something I personally use a lot is Canva. So Canva is a great app to be able to create posts for your Instagram. You can also create presentations and videos, and they're essentially templates. And one thing I like about it is that I use the brand kit, which allows you to add in a logo, specific fonts and colors to your posts. So when you're making things, you're able to click that brand kit and automatically add in your brand colors and elements to be able to differentiate your post from others. I know something that has helped students as well is when they don't have time to create those posts, going on Etsy, you can buy templates that are pre-made and you're able to go and take them on Canva and edit those colors to make them theirs. And that's something that can help a lot if you're struggling with to create those posts, and taking time can be really, really beneficial on Canva. You're also able to have like a social media calendar where you take your posts, you download them and you upload them, and it'll automatically post for you. So if you're someone who doesn't want to spend, you know, hours a day on social media, you can bulk batch and bulk make those content posts and then have them preset to automatically post for you, and you don't have to worry about doing that extra work, which can definitely take a little bit of weight off of your shoulders when you're trying to also manage your business and, you know, people have families and kids and so many other competing responsibilities, and you want to make sure that you have time for that but also time for your business.
Gems. I love it. Awesome. Well, hey, I think that covers about everything for today's episode. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Tune into the next episode here in a couple weeks. Give me a follow on social media on Instagram at True Skin Lab. B.
Beauty by BPDX on Instagram.
And you can find me on Instagram at Aesthetics by Asia LLC.
And of course, follow Fearless Beauties on Instagram at Fearless Beauties. All right, guys, catch you next time.